Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and Paul Dottino with you on this Thursday afternoon, this thirsty Thursday.
We're back. It's like we never left.
I know. It feels like we've never left, right? I mean, we were here so late last night because practice started at 5:50. I thought it was 5:30, Paul. It was 5:50, and yet again tonight. Practice is at 5:50.
Yeah, what happens, folks, just so you know, they officially list it as 5:50 because that's when the actual practice starts, but there's a lot of warm-ups that go on about 20 minutes earlier than that. So if you get here at around 5:30 or so, you get to see the guys warm up and maybe do a few special teams drills before they actually get to the real practice. So it's not like you're wasting any time. You'll get a better seat in the bleachers, and you will at least get to see some of the players running around.
So, again, we welcome you in. We take your calls. 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in. Now's the time to do it with you for the next hours. Hopefully you're enjoying some lunch and watching us online. Also, we will be monitoring Twitter throughout the show, so make sure you include that hashtag GiantsChat, and I will share your questions and your comments on the show as well. So around 12:30 this afternoon, Tom Coughlin and a few players made themselves available. I'm working on a special little piece with Andre Williams, which I'm really excited.
Number 44.
That will air next week. So unfortunately, I could not eavesdrop on a number of the interviews that were taking place. Also, a good friend of mine, Jenny Vrentis, who writes for SI, is here. She's doing a piece, Paul, on the sleeping habits of professional athletes and NFL players. And so she was talking, you know, Jeff Schwartz is the one player. What are you making a face for?
I don't sleep much. I don't know much about sleep.
Yeah, so you would
especially
be,
not during the season.
So you would be a great interview for her piece if you were a football player, but you're not.
I know.
Okay. So
it's okay.
So it's pretty interesting. She's going around the league and she's talking to certain players about their sleeping habits. Jeff Schwartz, he's the one player on this team that really likes to get the most amount of sleep. Rashad Jennings was talking about how he sleeps in a chamber, but it was pretty cool. She shared with me and a number of us out there that I guess the Miami Dolphins, Ryan Tannehill, they have a special sleeping chamber at the Dolphins facility where they like hook up these things to your neck, and like a half an hour of sleep equates to 2 hours of sleep.
Oh, wow.
Like REM, rapid eye movement.
Wow.
Pretty cool stuff.
Considering
so anyway,
I only get less than five every night during the season, I could use that.
She had a chance to talk to Eli Manning as well. So if you can, stay tuned to SISA.com. Jenny Vrentis here today. She'll have that article, I'm sure, up soon. So that's cool. So, you know, there's a number of media people here, a number of interviews that are taking place, and head coach Tom Coughlin addressed the media yet again today. What did he have to say, Paul?
Well, big news is about Victor Cruz. Now, you guys know yesterday we were told that he had a bit of a calf issue. Coach called it dehydration, and so he did not practice. And today, not only Tom, but Victor spoke to the media and told us that, indeed, that was the case. The dehydration is nothing more than that, not to panic. Victor said he's unlikely to play against Jacksonville. Tom seconded that notion. However, Victor did say that they were just being precautious and that he believes that he'll be a full go next week. He was really looking forward to playing against the Jaguars. There's no doubt about that. And listening to him talk, the way they were ramping up his reps, he thought it was going to be all systems go and he was going to get a shot to play on Saturday. But it does not, again, look like that is the case. He's not sure if he's going to work today or not. If he does, I expect it's going to be limited reps because they don't want to push this thing. But again, it is with his right calf. Victor had surgery on his left knee last season. So that's obviously an indication that it's not directly related to it. And then Reuben Randle with the knee tendonitis. Coach said not going to work again today. Looks like he's going to be out indefinitely for another short while. So I wouldn't expect him to go against Jacksonville either. There's only going to be a practice tonight, then a walkthrough tomorrow before they get to the kickoff. So really not a lot of time to catch him up, to get him on the field. He did say that his coach, starters will go a little bit longer than they did the other night against Cincinnati, but would not put a number on it. Also said that his starting right side of the offensive line will be Newhouse at right tackle and John Jerry at right guard. They continue to try to work Jeff Schwartz back in as much as possible, but again, due to a lot of his inavailabilities over the last week or two, he's not quite up to speed yet to be moved into the starting lineup in any of those spots. So he will get plenty of reps in the game, but again, not starting right now. It's going to be Jerry and Newhouse along the right side. Other than that, Rashad Jennings said that he thought he wanted the offense to flow a little bit better, wanted to see some better execution. And when I said to him, well, how many reps do you need to do that? He said, well, it's 5 seconds of play. So how about we just have one great play to start the game off and light a fire under this team? So not much going on there. Later on, Coach said he was going to get some more information about the safeties as they went through practice to see how that mix was going to go. I think that just about covers everything.
Yeah, I was going to tee you up individually for each player in each topic, but you handled the whole thing on your own, Paul.
Well,
It's great.
Wait a minute. I didn't touch one of your off-season acquisitions who you like to talk about.
JT Thomas.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
So you can ask me.
Well, I've been asking you pretty much all training camp, what your thoughts have been on him, and you said really he has not impressed you until yesterday.
He had a really nice play in the end zone, back of the end zone, broke up a pass intended for Larry Donnell that wound up falling incomplete. JT got his hand in there, really, really nice play. And that was, to me, the best play I've seen out of him so far during training camp. He told us he's looking forward to playing the Jaguars. There is a bit of emotion involved for him, even though it's a preseason game, and it's here. It's not like he's going back to Florida now. He also said, though, I thought this was interesting, you know from talking to him a lot, you've talked to him a lot more than I have, that the Jaguars used him in a variety of roles. He was like the jack-of-all linebackers for them. He said that coming here to the Giants has been a real blessing because they've slotted him in at the weak side spot and they have fully concentrated his focus on playing one spot. They haven't really moved him around much, and he said he thinks that's a really great thing for his game because he can focus more on just one thing. It's interesting because the Giants usually like to talk about the versatility of their guys, but it looks like they're doing versatile things with Kennard and McClain more than they are with Thomas. He's strictly a weak side guy. He likes that. And he said, boy, that's one of the great things I really enjoy about coming to the Giants.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what he's going to do once the regular season starts. So I know we've got some calls on board, 201-939-4513.
Did I give you an earache already?
No.
Okay.
No, you didn't.
Just checking.
But, you know, I like to, like, you know, pan out all the topics. But it's all good.
Yeah. Hand off. 90-yard dash for a touchdown.
Yeah. Why am I even here? Let's go to line three. We've got Vic in Florida. Vic, welcome.
Good afternoon, Anita and Paul.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome in.
I called the other day, and I was kind of upset, you know, expressing my disgust about the offensive line performance on Friday night, and I was wondering if the Giants are actively pursuing someone now and get that offensive line the way it should be, or are they just gonna stay pat or what?
The radar is always out to find improvements on the 53. Okay, at the moment, they've got what they've got, and so they're trying to find whatever combination that they can put out on the field that's going to provide better results. Now, one of the guys Anita and I have been talking about for the past week is Adam Geddes, 4-year pro, veteran from the Washington Redskins, played at Iowa. Now, if you know anything about college football, you know that Iowa produces a lot of good pro offensive linemen. And what is their number one characteristic? They fight. They scrap. They have a high motor and high energy, and that's what I see in Adam Geddes. So he is, of all the reserve linemen that we've seen during training camp, he's the one that's caught my eye the most. He is a left guard, and I haven't seen them using him anywhere else. But that's a guy you'd like to watch. And I think that, quite honestly, Bobby Hart, the Florida State rookie, and we talked about him yesterday,
Anita. Big fan base he has.
A lot of folks like him.
Yep.
they've now started giving him some backup reps at right tackle the last several days. They like the way he's coming along in the run-blocking part of his game.
Right.
Now they
got
to figure out, if he's going to be out there, how well can he pick up the pass-blocking stuff? Again, much faster speed of guys coming off the edge in the NFL than in Florida State. Okay?
Now, looking back, Paul, you know, looking back at the draft, the Giants could have easily gotten Lyle Collins, and that really burns me up.
Oh my gosh! Anyway, did you see the video? Did you see the video of Collins?
No, I didn't.
All right. Don't watch it then.
I just want to make sure that the offensive line gets back in shape and. You know, have a good season. Thank you for taking me on the air, and have a good day, Kate.
You got it. Have a good day, Vic. Collins came in his first preseason game with the Dallas Cowboys, and I want to say they were going up against Jacksonville. I'm not sure who they played in preseason game number one.
I don't know.
But he just destroyed this guy. I mean, just like took him down, Paul.
Vic, I tell you what, I'm going to make you feel better. Maybe I could send you a nice ham and mozzarella hero for tomorrow's lunch.
Really? Let's go to line two. Mick in New York, welcome in.
Hi, good afternoon.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hi, good afternoon. I like your T-shirt, by the way, Anita. Paul. Paul, you're a longtime Giant fan. You know, you go way back. I go back to the Tartanton era.
So do I.
Do you think this Giant team right now, as it stands today, is a good football team right now?
Right now, I think it's an average football team in the middle of that quicksand known as the parody of the NFL. And if some of their question marks are answered in a positive direction, they've got a chance to rise above that a little bit and be in the playoff equation. But there are other question marks that if they don't get answered positively, they will not be a playoff team. And that's the problem with today's NFL. They've wanted this. They've wanted parity. They want 15 teams to be in that middle quicksand area where you can barely tell the difference, and injuries or one or two or three different questions are going to make the difference between good and bad. That's what this league wants, and they got it.
I don't know how your opinion is about it, but see, I used to like watching the old dynasties, like the Steeler dynasty, the Cowboy dynasty, even though I can't stand them. You know, if you have a good organization, why punish them and force them to be more mediocre because other organizations aren't as good as you are?
I'm with you 1,000%.
But as a Giant, I agree. If there are a lot of question marks, particularly on defense, who are your safeties? You know, your linebackers, you know, I'm okay with, you know, Kennard's good. Beeson, we know, if he can stay healthy. Sorry, Anita, but JT Thomas has never graded anything better than a below-average linebacker during his time at Jacksonville. So, you know, maybe if they put him at the weak side, let him concentrate on that, maybe he'll be good, or maybe he'll be among the other mediocre linebackers that Reese got in free agency, like Clark and Rivers. There's no pass rusher, really, since JPP decided to do what he did. There's no real established pass rusher. And on offense, we all know the problem is the offensive line, particularly the right side. But if those things are all answered positively, you'd have a chance to be a good team. But what are the odds of all those things being answered positively?
Well, again,
Mick, thank you for the phone call. I just want to say this in regard to parity. Paul, if there wasn't parity in the NFL – when the Giants play at 1 o'clock, and you go home, you're going to be bored out of your tears for the 4 o'clock game. And you know what? The Sunday game is not going to be the premier game that you're going to stay up late and want to watch. So I get it. I understand. Like if you're a Giants organization and you've ruled and you've been so dominant, and then the league changes for parity. Well, it changes for parity for good reason. Because any given Sunday, any team could beat another, i.e. last year, Jacksonville beating the Giants, and it makes it interesting. It makes it compelling to watch. So, you know, listen, the NFL made $9 billion last year. Why? Because of parity. The NFL rules. Why? Because of parity. What happens with Major League Baseball? You know, we get to a point in Major League Baseball as we get closer to the trade deadline. It's like, okay, what teams are going to pack it in for the season? And what teams are going to wheel and deal and better their roster, whether it's their rotation or their lineup, because they're going to make a really big push for it. And then what happens when two of those teams that have packed it in for the season and have kind of traded their farm, are you watching them on a Sunday? They're not even on Sunday night on ESPN. You're not watching them because they stink. So, you know, I get it. Like I understand, you know, the teams like, you know, the Pittsburgh fans and the Dallas fans and you know, the Giants fans who just, you know, why did this have to happen? But yet there's a, you know, see the forest for the trees. There's a greater good. And the greater good is because you have competitive parity all across the board throughout the season and any given Sunday.
See, she's right from a business perspective. She's 1,000% right from a business perspective, and that's why the league is succeeding as it is.
$9 billion.
Okay, the problem is I look at it more from a coach's or GM's perspective, and I like to see the dynasties. I like to see the 6 or 7 outstanding teams fighting it out for the Super Bowl, and I could care less about the also-rans. And I like to see coaches and GMs and players rewarded for staying together, developing players, and forming that kind of unity and kind of powerhouse team that you can form. And that's really the difference. It's the what angle are you looking at? And they cannot mesh. If you're looking at it from a business perspective and to generate the greatest common good of interest, this parity, this quicksand of parity, is definitely the way to go. If you're a coach or a GM, you hate this because you do want to be rewarded for being a great organization, a great coaching staff, a great scouting staff.
Wait, time out.
You hate that this parody NFL waters you down.
But time out.
You hate it.
You can still be rewarded by being a good general manager and being a good team and a good coaching staff. It makes it a little bit more difficult. It means you need to up your game, Paul.
I think the system is inherently more difficult, and it's meant to bring you down and make you fail. It's why the Patriots are so incredibly amazing. I look at the Patriots, and I say what they have done in this era of pro football is absolutely phenomenal that they've been able to do what they've been able to
because
do.
They draft so well, you know, and they spend wisely in free agency.
Very, very hard to do, and somehow they've been able to do it. And that's why hats off to them for being able to do it.
And, of course, they have a quarterback.
Yeah, well, helps.
Yeah. 201-939-4513. I'm sorry, was there a question that besides him totally destroying JT Thomas, was there something
no,
else?
No, I don't think there was. And,
no?
You know, JT Thomas, he's in that show-me category because he's in a new scheme with a new team with a focus to play weak side linebacker. Let's see. I'm not going to trash this guy till I actually get a chance to see him in real games and put forth whatever it is he's got to offer. So I'm not gonna rip him.
Let's go to line one. Josh is calling in from Philadelphia. He wants to talk about the O-line. Josh, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Good evening.
Hi.
You know, good evening. So the offensive line, you know, why don't they move Bobby Hart over to right tackle? I think he could be the starter.
Well, he's playing some
everybody
of that.
Loves Hart, man.
Yeah, you know,
what is up?
Gotta have Hart, right?
Really?
That was really bad.
That was cheesy. He's
been playing some right tackle the last couple of practices.
Josh, thank you for the phone call.
But, so we're going to see.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's just like at least we get two calls a show on Bobby Hart.
All right. You understand why, though. Florida State, pro-style offense, big, big, big-time success in college. You know, winging it, a lot of passes down there, and the people are saying, well, there's big, bad Bobby Hart, 300-plus pounds, played tackle out there at Florida State. Gee, he must be good. I get that. So they just want to throw him in and think he can do exactly the same thing in the NFL. Well, as Banks used to like to tell us all the time, it's not just add water. There's a little more to it than making that transition. And they're trying to see how quickly he can make it.
Let's go to Robert in Massachusetts. Robert, welcome in.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Anita and Paul.
Great.
Long-time Giant fans from the 60s, Paul. And,
okay.
I'm saying the same thing. You draft a kid like Hart, play him. Play him. We know what John Jerry could do in Newhouse. Play the kid.
Let me ask you a question. I'm not trying to be wise. I'm not trying to be wise.
We got to protect our franchise quarterback.
Okay.
We got to run the game.
All right.
Run
hold on. Before we get into this Bobby Hart hour, okay? Before we get into this Bobby Hart hour.
You're going to put me to sleep.
Do you really want to put a rookie at left tackle and a rookie at right tackle week one against the Dallas Cowboys and look Eli Manning in the face and say, you're going to have to live with those rookie mistakes? Do you really want to do that to your franchise quarterback?
Regular season, Paul. We're in the preseason. And if you don't try the kid now, you don't know what you're gonna have in your hand.
He's getting some reps now at right tackle in practice,
I think he'll see some
in the preseason too.
Every day, Paul and Anita, and John too. Listen, we gotta play the kid, Paul. We gotta play him to know what we have in our hands.
Paul, let me ask you, how much playing time do you think he's gonna get this week against Jacksonville? What are you anticipating for him?
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a quarter, you know, in the second half.
He might get a quarter.
And he may be, again, he's only doing some tackle stuff the last couple of days. I don't know if he's going to get tackle stuff against Jacksonville. They may bring him in and just let him play right guard. I don't know. The point is they're trying to find out, but you got to find out in a judicious and prudent manner. You just don't throw him out there in the deep end of the pool and say, kid, go ahead. Do this.
I understand.
He's gonna drown.
I understand, but the thing is, it's preseason. It's only the second game. We have to try him out to see what he could give us for this franchise.
Besides, maybe he comes out to be a
good ball player.
You just want to accelerate that a little bit quicker than is realistic, because
Ryan Nassib to get killed. I see my offensive line struggling.
I understand.
And I'm like Bill Parcells, run them down their throats, and then we pass or whatever. The thing is, we have to protect Eli.
I understand. We're on the same page here.
And
we just
our running backs too, okay. Because they're good, but we don't have a good offensive lineman to open up those holes up there. We ain't going nowhere, Paulie.
I know that.
I called you Paulie. Robert, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Hey,
we're on the same page. He just has a little bit of an impatient string in him that he wants to push that rookie a little quickly. Seventh round pick.
201-939-4513 is the phone number to get in. We'll continue with your calls. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and of course you here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on this Thirsty Thursday. Let's look at some tweets. You can tweet us hashtag Giants Chat. Does Hart look better than Newhouse? That's the question.
He's had a partial practices the last couple of days at right tackle. That's not enough of a sample.
This is from Vic. Bobby Hart is the new and improved Corey Washington. I like that. I think that might be the tweet. That might be the tweet of the day.
Yes,
it is.
I'm giving him a crown right now.
Easy says Flowers at left tackle, Pugh at left guard, Richburg at center, Schwartz at right tackle, Hart at right tackle. I mean, Schwartz at right guard, Hart at right tackle. It wouldn't hurt to try him out. Play him and see what happens.
Guys, let's get him some more practice reps over the course of the next couple of weeks. Then salt, kind of periodically salt him in a little bit during the preseason games. There's still three preseason games to go. Let that process go along naturally.
Joe says, sick of people complaining about the league parity. Teams like New England, Seattle, and Green Bay have managed to become consistent, so no reason we cannot. I like that, Joe. You're absolutely right. Easy said, here's the video of Lel Collins pancaking the linebacker from San Diego on the first preseason game, but he didn't include the link. So, Easy, if you can tweet us back, because I do want to show Paul that play. It was ridiculous. All quiet on the Bromley front. Anything stand out with you lately,
I thought Jay did some good things the other day. In fact, the week leading into the Cincinnati game, he actually was extremely active in the dual practices against the Bengals. Coaches seemed to be very pleased with his progress, and I thought he got after it pretty good in that first preseason game. So I'm looking forward to more good things from him.
And this is from Ben. He says, no risk in no point in risking Cruz in the second preseason game. Let him rest until the third.
You know what's funny? Anita and I talked about what we were going to do for our question of the day today, if we were going to have one. And, you know, originally, until all the things came out on the patio, I was saying to her, well, I'd love, my question would kind of be like, well, when do you guys want to see Cruz? What preseason game would you like to see him play in, and how much would you like to see him play? I think you and I both agree. He's got to get out there for at least some preseason snaps. You and I don't want him going raw against the Cowboys.
No, absolutely not. And this is the last Twitter question before we do go back to our phone calls, 201-939-4513. How's Jimmy Statton look at training camp? The Giants acquired him from the Seahawks.
Picked him up the other day off the waiver wire, and quite frankly, you know, watching practice last night, I did not see anything that stood out. So let's wait for today, wait for the game on Saturday, and let's get a look. But he's a defensive tackle that the Seahawks just got rid of.
All right, let's go to line three. Phil calling in from Pennsylvania as well. Phil, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to talk to you guys. My first thing, I just want to say thank you. I've downloaded your podcast every day, walk about 4 miles while I'm listening to you guys, and lost about 20 pounds this summer. So
that's awesome.
You guys have really helped me out. This is my first time live.
Okay.
And I just wanted to say, you know, to the other Giants fans, I can't believe we haven't gone out and signed Jason Peters and Tyron Smith and maybe Luke Kuechly and J.J. Watt, too. Those guys aren't out there.
There's something called the salary cap, right? And there's also something about guys being on other teams because they have contracts. I'm just saying.
I mean, we've got to get the best guys we can put in camp, and our coaches are going to work with them, and they're going to do a good job. And, you know, eventually, 11-5, NFC East champs. I did want to make a couple comments on what I see Jerry Reese doing with the 53.
Okay.
I really think, correct me if I'm wrong, but Brett Jones can go to the practice squad and not take up a spot because of the foreign exemption, correct?
I believe that's the case, but I'm going to tell you, I had a conversation with somebody in the front office the other day about practice squad rules and some of the different idiosyncrasies that have occurred over the last 2 years. And one thing I did not ask him about was the foreign exemption. So I do need to check on it. I think you're right, but I'm not 1,000% sure.
See, I'm pretty sure that's correct, and I think that's why you didn't see him play many snaps on Friday night. He'll get a few more snaps this week, but I think they're kind of going to try and hide him, get him onto the practice squad, and that doesn't take up, that still gives us our 10 practice squad spots. He would be number 11, and then he's going to be available anytime during the season. That's why I think we'll only keep 9 offensive linemen.
Well, it's an interesting concept, and I appreciate your thoughts on it. I think, you know, right now the Giants have to worry about a lot of guys who are nicked up on that line, guys who, you know, for one reason or another have missed time during the early part of training camp. And Pugh was telling us earlier this morning, he said, I think right now we're probably as healthy as we've been since camp started. So let's see what happens from here.
All right, let's go to line two. Andrew in New Jersey, welcome.
How's it going? I don't want Cruz to start until week 2 or 3 of the regular season, but
really,
that makes me unpopular. I'm just nervous, you know, because he hasn't taken a real hit on the knee. So, but the doctor,
week one is against the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys, division
yeah,
rival.
We need him.
Yeah.
But I just want to say I have a good question of the day. But first, people have been criticizing me for saying to get rid of JPP and trade him, and I understand players hold out, but his circumstance, because he was 100% wrong, he shouldn't be holding out. He lost his credibility, so he loses that, you know, privilege or that leverage. Look at how Eli handles himself. His contract is up soon. But I just don't like how he shut out the team. He didn't speak to Reese for almost a month. He's not here now. I just don't think someone that blew his finger off so stupidly shouldn't be handling himself like that. Like Cruz's injury, he didn't, of course, it wasn't his fault. He didn't do anything stupid. But my question is, what player on offense and what player on defense do you think is most important on offense other than Eli and Beckham? I guess maybe the center. And on defense, I'm picking Robert Ayers. And I always forget the corner his initials, not R.J. McWhorter. He's retired, but the guy from Denver would be my second most important
DRC.
Player. Yeah, DRC, and maybe Beeson would be third. But I think Robert Ayers is the best all-around lineman, so he would be my most important guy. But offense, it's hard after Eli and Beckham, maybe the center. But I'll hang up and see if you guys have any opinions on that.
Andrew, thank you for the phone call. I'll let you comment on who you think the most important player is on offense and defense, and I'll let you know if I agree or disagree. But I do want to say this about Jason Pierre-Paul, okay? And sometimes, and I know I've said this before, and I think I need to reiterate it, and that is, I know it's hard for fans to kind of take a step out of the fan zone, okay? Realize and understand something, that this is a human being, a very nice man who tragically did something very stupid. We know that. We've all done stupid things in our lives. We all have, myself included, and unfortunately got injured by doing it. This is a man who had a tag on the table waiting for him, a very lucrative deal. Try not to judge how an individual is handling a situation of this magnitude. Try to put yourself in his shoes as a human being and not a professional athlete, and understand the how deep of a situation this is. I don't, Paul, know how I would have handled something like this. And I'm sure he's getting advice from everyone, including even more. So, you know, I'm not going to sit back and criticize the way that JPP has been handling this. I mean, obviously, do you wish that he would align himself more with the organization? Of course you do. But I just sometimes, because I'm just, I don't want to say that I'm tired of it, because I understand. It's I'm sure it's very frustrating for fans. It's a big hit on this defense. But take a minute and step out of the fan box for a minute and understand that we're talking about a human being who's just suffered a tremendous injury, and it's more than just football, you know? And I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't know how I would have handled something like this. I mean, this is tragic. And I just, my heart goes out to him, because he's just getting destroyed and criticized so much. And he's only human, you know?
Well, I think what you're saying is one of the reasons, among others, why the Giants as an organization are being as patient as they possibly can be, because they're trying to take the entire scope of the situation under consideration, and they don't want to make any rash decisions. And this isn't just, again, about him as a player. They feel for him as a guy. We've heard from John Mara, Jerry Reese, and Tom Coughlin. They care about the person first, and that's the way the Giants organization has always been. And I can tell you that firsthand, because I've been around a long time.
Yeah.
And I know how they have taken care of guys even after they were on the roster, guys with medical issues, and they have gone out of their way to take care of them. So I know what this place is all about. They're not cold.
Best player on offense, best player on defense.
Well, most important, I think, was his question. And besides Eli, Eric Flowers has got to be the most important guy right now at left tackle.
And he's been so impressive.
Boy, he's a mountain of a guy.
Right.
Have you had a chance to shake hands with him?
Yeah.
He's a big man.
He's huge.
And you get lost in his shadow, too.
Yeah,
he's just huge.
Yeah, so I'm with you. I totally agree with you there.
Okay, and on defense, I have to tell you, because of the way that Spags has come in and tried to get things going for the second time with this Giants team, Beeson is so, so critical, because he's the extension of Spags on the field. And let's face it, nobody else on this defense has worked with Spags before, with the exception of Miles a little bit, in Baltimore, and McClain a little bit in Baltimore. Beeson is the guy. He's the conduit. Everything's running through the computer lines through John Beeson. He's got to be the most important guy on the defense.
I'm with you. Makes for a boring show, but yes, we do agree. Let's go to line one. JC's calling in. JC, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely.
All right. Hi, Anita. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
First time I talked to you, Anita. I've been watching you guys for years, and this is my second time calling in. I'm in Arizona, a little far away from you guys.
Side of Super Bowl 42.
My uncle an aunt used to live out there. They used to live in Sedona, Arizona. They used to run a restaurant out there called the Heartline Cafe. So
That's the good thing about Arizona. You could just drive 2 hours away from the desert, and you're in the snow. Go skiing. So that's one thing I like about out here. But anyways, getting back to the Giants here, you guys were talking about the Patriots, and you know, I'm kind of young. I've been a Giants fan for maybe about 10, 12 years now. But I've noticed that the Patriots, they cut ties with players really quick. And what a lot of people like about the Giants and players out there, you know, how it's more family-oriented, I just think that maybe they're a little bit better these couple of years, the Patriots, because they know when to cut loose. And, I mean, there's certain positions where, you know, you might need some time to develop. But I think that we need to strategize, you know, a little bit different as far as, you know, when we're evaluating, you know, our players and holding on to the Bartons of the world, Sonoris, you know, the Sonoris Mosses of the world, you know. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, JC, I understand. And thank you for the phone call. Thank you for watching all the way from Arizona. Sometimes I think it's really hard. I think it's, you know, you've got a general manager, you've got a scout team that spends so much time and so much effort all season long, all year long, and they put together this draft board, and they go out and they draft a young man, and they take a chance on him. They want to give him every opportunity to prove himself. And so, you know, so you've got some general managers, Paul, that are just quicker on the draw and don't give these guys, a total 4 years to really prove what they can do, and they're out the door in two. Where some general managers are like, they're going to give them every opportunity to prove themselves because the organization spent a draft pick on them. You know, it's just different philosophies.
It's no different than, let me go back to baseball for just a second. Remember Sparky Anderson in the 70s with the Reds? He was called Captain Hook because he would go out there and go to the bullpen really, really fast. He wouldn't rely on his starters. It's no different. GMs, they got to decide, when are we going to pull the trigger? Some guys are going to be quicker than others. But the other baseball analogy to make is when you're talking about the Patriots and Bill Belichick and company, they do go back to the old Branch Rickey philosophy with the old Brooklyn Dodgers. Get rid of a guy a year too early rather than a year too late. And it takes a lot of guts to do that. It goes against human nature, because human nature is go with the guy until he proves he can't do it anymore and stick with the loyalty factor. It's very difficult if you're in that mindset to change it the other way and get rid of a guy you too early. Anyway.
Let's go to Tim calling in from Milwaukee. Tim, welcome on with Anita Marks and Paul Dottino here on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Well, I'd like to talk about the wide receivers, but before I get into that, I want to talk about Darkwell, the running back.
Sure.
I was watching the game, and he really impressed me.
He impressed the coaches. The coaches had a lot to say about him yesterday.
Yeah. So is there any possibility that he would be in the depth chart above Andre Williams, you think?
No, I don't. But I think that, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong.
I'm with you.
I think where it's going to come down is when it comes down to shaving that roster to 53, I think you're going to have a running back coach and an offensive coordinator who's going to step up and try to sell and compete and lobby as to why Darkwell needs to stay on that 53, where maybe you've got Quinn, your special teams coach, and maybe, you know,
wide receivers coach,
and stepping up and saying they're going to argue why you feel that they need. I think when it comes down to Tim, thanks for the phone call, Paul. I think when it comes down to that meeting where you've got to shave down to 53. There's going to be some battles. There's going to be some big-time politicking to try to keep Darkwell on this 53 roster.
You know, sometimes the game isn't fair, Anita, and sometimes you can't compete against the guy who's in your own position room. For example, Darkwell and Hunt, they're both competing at the back end of the depth chart for running back. But I agree with Anita. This is really a case of, is a fourth running back going to stick? Because other position coaches are going to say, I need that wide receiver. I need that offensive lineman. I need that extra defensive back. Tom Quinn's going to say, I need guys who play special teams. Now, Darkwood does that. good news for him.
Right.
He does that. So
right.
Tom Quinn's going to like that.
That's right.
But sometimes in this league, it is just not fair because you're not fighting mano a mano against a guy for the same position. You're fighting against a guy who's down the other end of the hall and doesn't even play your side of the ball. And that really stinks. But that's what happens with the final 53.
Let's go to John calling in from Jacksonville. John, welcome in.
Hi, how you doing? Case of Deech, Paul.
How are you?
All right, two things. One thing I want to get out of the way. With JPP, I'm tired of these fans calling up. You know, I had a devastating hand injury. It's 80% mental and 20% physical. The guy's got to get his mental squared away before he can get back to the team. That's all I got to say. Now, what I want to bring up is I'm really impressed with that kid Wade. He's a ball hawk.
Trevin Wade, a former seventh-round pick of the Cleveland Browns, bounced around just a little bit the last couple of years with the Lions last year when the Giants then picked him up as a free agent. He's a little bit on the small side. Yes, he had an interception the other day against Cincinnati, but he also got burned for a long pass over the top, which Tom Coughlin had told his secondary going in, I don't want to see any of those. And so that kind of balanced it out. In practice, he had a pick 10 practice yesterday. That's the second time he's done that in summer camp. But again, his deal's a mixed bag. He makes some really, really good plays. He makes some not so good plays and gets beat. So let's see more of him. And I think he's put himself on the radar that they need to see more in the next 3 weeks to get a better gauge on exactly where he is and if he belongs on the 53. But I do think you're gonna see more of him because they want to find out more about him.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. And I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
You got it. Let's continue with the calls. They're rocking and rolling. We want to make sure we get everybody in this afternoon. Really quick note, practice today, 5:50 p.m., open to the media, but open to the public.
Yeah.
But they're in shells, right? Not
uppers only.
Uppers only.
Yep.
Right. Still fun to come out and watch.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Especially because we understand the weather forecast is going to hold off on the rain, even though it's very humid out here. Oh, boy, is it humid.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal outside.
But that's okay.
What's tomorrow supposed to be like?
Tomorrow's no practice.
Yeah, but I've got a tea time. What's tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. Tea time.
Let's go to Mark in California calling in line two. Mark, welcome.
Hello?
Mark, you there? Okay, let's go to line one. Patrick calling in from North Carolina. Patrick.
Hi, Paul. Hi, Anita.
Hi.
Hi.
I just had one quick thing that I had thought about from the Bengals game. Paul, you have a pretty good eye. Maybe you can set me straight on this. One of the things that the Giants were talking about wanting to get better on the defense was the run, stopping the run.
Right.
And one of the things that I was noticing during the game is that we weren't getting a consistent punch in the interior of the defensive line.
Especially early in the game with the first unit, I agree with you.
Yeah, we were getting good rush off of the edges.
Yep.
You know, with the defensive ends. But it looks like our defensive linemen in the interior were getting stood up. And you've seen a lot of backpedaling. We weren't getting a consistent punch.
There's no question the ends played better than the defensive tackles did, especially early in the game in Cincinnati. No argument from me whatsoever. I think your eyesight is fine.
I mean, because it looks like one of the things that you get taught from Pop Warner on up is lower man always wins. And a lot of our guys were just getting stood straight up.
Believe me, that has been talked about inside the coach's room going into this game against Jacksonville. And there's going to have to be some corrections there. No question about it.
I mean, we hear about guys like Marcus Kuhn being very strong and being strong at the point of attack, and that's great. But if you're getting stood up like that, all that strength goes out the window.
He would tell you he wishes he had a better game. There's no question.
But I just want to touch on that, and I'll continue to listen off air.
Patrick,
thank you
for the phone call. Let's take a look at Twitter really quick. Hashtag Giants Chat. We'll get back to your calls in just a hot second. 201-939-4513. This is from Javone. Javone says that Darkwa shows better vision than Williams, feeling confident about Flowers. Someone needs to battle Randall for the number three. Well, I think Jones is
Jones is going to get even more action against Jacksonville because it looks like Ruben's not going to play. This is a big chance for Jones not only to secure his roster spot but to try to move up. So, you know, let's see what happens with that. But Andre Williams, remember something now. As Anita told you guys earlier in the offseason, he had the LASIK surgery to help his eyesight and his depth perception. That in itself could help him out. But also, it wasn't until like December of last year as a rookie where he really started to pick up the way the holes open and close and the tempo of the game and all of that other stuff. It took him almost his whole rookie season to start getting into the tempo and mode of the NFL game. Darkwa, even though he hasn't had a ton of experience, he had been around a little bit longer. Remember, the previous year he was with the Dolphins. And even though he didn't play, he was a practice squad guy, he's got a little bit more seasoning around NFL training camps and practices than Williams. So take that into account. When you see Andre Williams, just watch the power that he uses, watch his legs, watch his low center of gravity. These are all things that the coaches really like about him.
This is from Nicholas, wants to know, Paul, who do you think will be the third tight end? And who do you think are the last two wide receivers?
Wow. The tight end situation is interesting because Daniel Fells was listed as the number one tight end going into the preseason game against Cincinnati. Remember, Donnell had the Achilles in the offseason and again set him back. And you know, he hasn't been quite as sharp as they would like during the course of training camp. So Fells is the journeyman who's, you know, reliable and consistent. Who's the third tight end? Oh, my goodness. You know, Cunningham certainly got a good shot at it. Robinson's still hanging around. He's one of those draft picks that, you know, you hate to give up on. I don't know that I'm prepared to give you an answer. I need more evidence. And then the other question was the wide receivers. Well, you know, we've talked about this, Anita, for a long time. The health of Beckham and Cruz, very, very important. And now the health of Randall, too, really makes the wide receiver situation very jumbled because we believe that Dwayne Harris is certainly going to be there.
Right.
We certainly believe that Corey Washington deserves a spot, you know, in the top six. And we certainly believe that James Jones deserves a spot in the top six. But then that would leave out Jeremy Davis, the rookie from UConn. This is a great competition.
He was drafted what round?
He was drafted in the sixth round.
Okay.
Great competition. So to me, I think the health of the receivers is probably going to determine how many they wind up keeping. I think it's a max of six. I would say right now, if I had to, I'm probably going to leave Corey Washington off the list, and I'm going to say that Davis makes it, and I'm going to say that that Harris will be five with the other three veterans and James Jones at your top four. If I had to make the decision right now, I'd even take the chance on the health of those guys. And I hate to do it, but I don't think I have a choice right now.
This is interesting. This is from Big Dash. He says that Eric Flowers looks like he doesn't like cameras, looked extremely fidgety in his interview with Bob Papa. Was it Bob Papa he did the interview? I thought he did the interview with...
He did it with Sean O'Hara.
With Sean O'Hara.
He did not like the camera.
And he doesn't.
No.
Eric does not like the cameras. In fact, I was thinking about like sitting down and like maybe like coaching him a little bit.
Well, you got that U connection, so, right? You can do that.
From the U, baby. Yes, I do. But I mean, I helped David Wilson. I thought I did a good job with David Wilson, right?
Yeah, you made him by talking to him like you did, you got him much more at ease.
Right.
That's true. No question. And Eric Flowers?
And he's going to be a stud. He's going to be a star. I mean, you know, he's got a lot of media people are going to want to talk to him. He's got to up his game.
He's one focused dude.
He is, but he's got to up his media game. That's for sure. Let's go back to our calls. We've got Abdul calling in from Minnesota, line four. Abdul, welcome.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm trying to really stay positive, and I think this team will be better than last year's team, but I think we're 1 year away from really competing. I think for years we had a couple of bad off seasons with drafts and free agents, and that really set us back in terms of our depth. And I think that we're just a little too thin right now to absorb any injuries, to absorb any kind of bad play from our starters because we have no depth. And I think that's going to hurt us, and it so far has hurt us this year. I think, you know, I hope that Reese and Coffin get one more chance because I think we're one more off season away to getting a couple more spots backed up and filled out. But you know, this year, you know, with the right tackle, the safety, you know, the linebacker, there's, you know, we're just so thin when it comes to depth, which is so important in the NFL. I just don't think that we could absorb the natural attrition that happens throughout the NFL year, that we're going to drop off. That's just my gut feeling. You know?
Fair comment.
You know, but if things break extremely right, say this kid Barbie Hart shows up and plays incredible, and, you know, some dark horses come out of nowhere, maybe that will be able to, you know, counter our lack of depth. But as of right now, the way I'm looking at things, I just don't see how we could, you know, sustain a full NFL year with top talent. And this won't be enough. But that's my personal – I really hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm happily surprised. I felt the same way in 2007. So
okay.
What happened then, right?
Understood.
So
thank you.
Just the way I'm looking at things, I just we're just too thin at too many spots right now. And
I hear you.
What do you guys think about that?
We'll let you go. Thanks for the call. Anita, yeah. The last year's draft class looks like at this moment that it's a winner. You know, the Kennards and the Williamses of the world. Those guys look like, and we all know what Beckham has turned out to be. That looks like it was a winner. It looks like they got some pretty good guys in this year's draft class. But the caller's right in one regard. It takes time for those guys to, you know, develop and become the core of the team. And, you know.
Yeah, but this is a conversation I was having with Dan Graziano yesterday during media availability. You know, that works in a fan base like in Cleveland.
People want to win here now.
That works in a fan base like in Jacksonville.
It's tough.
That's you know, you've got the Giants fan base is a whole nother animal. You know, it's a whole different set of expectations. And I'll go back to the caller we had before who doesn't like parity in the NFL. Do you know what I mean? Because it's an organization that has been so dominant, and there's championships and just it being competitive year in and year out.
Well, think of the two Super Bowls in 5 years, you know, over the course of the last decade, and you're right. I mean, people get spoiled by that real easily here.
And I, you know, I will say this. Listen, Giants fans, you know, everything that you're hearing, if there is one team in the NFC East that you'd feel a little frightened about right now, for me, it's Philadelphia.
Dallas's offensive line is scary and scary good and is going to be that
I'm
way
sorry.
For the next couple of years. And that,
Joseph,
you know,
Joseph Randall and McFadden do nothing for me. They just don't.
Well, and that's why I'm not so sure that Dallas is going to be the division winner. A lot of people want to give it to them. But I do fear the fact that Dallas, I think, over the next two, three, four years.
What is it about Philadelphia that you're not?
Because I have no idea. After several years ago when they put forth the best team that money could buy on the field and couldn't make the playoffs because it just didn't gel and didn't mesh right.
Yeah, but this is a whole nother regime.
And
they've
totally overturned that roster in the last 2 years.
Right.
And I'm not convinced yet until they show me that this is going to work. They've changed all the ingredients in that soup, and I'm not willing
to. Did you watch their first preseason game?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not. So I just need – look, I'm in show me phase.
Right.
That's all.
Well, you've got to watch.
I didn't have a chance.
I know. You're here all the time.
Yeah.
201-939-4513. Some tweets before we go back to our calls. This is from Giants Nation. I don't care where we trim. The Giants must keep Wade and Darkwa.
Well, you know what? Those two guys may make the 53. They've got chances. Let's make something very clear. They have earned an opportunity to get a further look over the next 3 weeks. That much I can tell you for sure because the coaching staff has told us so.
This is from Jack. He wants to know, what does Corey Washington need to do in order to secure a roster spot? What does he need to do the next few weeks, Paul?
Well, there's a couple of things that can happen. First of all, unfortunately, if there is an injury problem with any of the guys in front of him, that certainly would help his chances. You don't want to talk about that, but that's the reality of things. The other thing is he's going to have to consistently get open and catch the ball every time it's thrown to him, not just in the games, but in practice as well, run all the right routes. He's had a terrific offseason. Let me make something clear. Corey Washington has had a terrific offseason. And if James Jones hadn't been signed a week or so ago, I'd be sitting here with Anita telling you Corey Washington's going to make my 53, hands down. The problem is when James Jones walks onto campus, you're looking at a pro's pro who caught 73 balls last year. And I got a real hard time bringing in a pro's pro and telling him that he's not going to make the 53.
Yeah, and keep in mind, he put up those stats in Oakland.
Yeah.
Oakland.
So
let's go to line three. Mark calling in from Cali. Mark, welcome.
I actually called in earlier, but I had my phone on mute. I apologize.
Okay.
But actually, speaking of that, I actually love James Jones. I think he beats out Randle. I would put James Jones in the lineup over Randle and have him play because, like you said, Anita, he caught 73 balls with Oakland. That was Carr throwing him the ball. Imagine what Manny can do like a Rodgers throwing him the ball.
Let me say this, though. Derek Carr is going to be an excellent quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
Not, you know, it wasn't last year. Now he's got Amari Cooper. I think this year he takes another step up.
Thank you.
I'm not knocking Carr, but yes, that system, rookie season, yeah, when you look at those numbers, it's quite impressive.
But the main topic here that I was actually talking about, I was just roughing on that, is Eli Manning. There's rumors that he wants to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. His agent wants that.
Yeah, but did you hear, you can log on to Giants.com. He addressed the media
about Eli Manning said that he denies the rumor and obviously that he doesn't want to be the highest paid quarterback. I think last year he was making $17 million, so that's good. And if the Giants would have franchised him next year, he'd make 23, which means he'd be the highest paid quarterback. But if you look at his statistics over the last couple of years when they won the Super Bowl, last year he put up 30 touchdowns, 14 picks. That's good. He had his best year in 2011, almost threw for 5,000 yards, right? And they're comparing him to Peyton. Peyton's best year was only 49 touchdowns. Other than that, Eli has been consistent with Peyton. He
Wait a minute.
Total yards. Remember, Peyton had a high
hold on,
power
hold on,
offense.
Hold on. I got to stop you. If I wasn't going to, you were going to. Don't compare him to Peyton. Peyton Manning, Johnny Unitas, Tom Brady, the three greatest quarterbacks who've ever lived. Do not compare Eli Manning to Peyton.
But he's his brother, and people do that just because they're brothers, and they compare. If Derek Jeter had a brother, they'd be like, listen, well, let's compare. Greatest shortstop ever. But, I mean, I think he deserves the highest quarterback right now. I think he really does. He's put up great numbers. You know, yeah, there's been some injuries, so he's kind of like taking a step back. But now he has a solid wide receiver core. He's learning McAdoo's offense, so I think if he has a great year, and his contract year, he won a Super Bowl. So, I mean, you can't really say much about that. Hopefully he performs. But what do you guys think
Here's
about
what I'm
going to
tell you. Here's what I'm going to tell you, and appreciate the phone call. Here's what I'm going to tell you. He's under contract for the 2015 season. Tom Coughlin would not want to have any other quarterbacking his team this year. And that's all you need to know. There's talking about his contract and the money and all this other stuff and where he ranks on the salary chart is truly irrelevant right now. It means nothing. Okay? I appreciate the interest, but to me, it's just not a topic worth getting into.
All right, let's end strong here. Let's go to Canada. Mike is calling in from Montreal. Mike, let's close it out strong here for us on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Okay, thanks a lot. Well, guys, I enjoy listening to you. I've been a diehard Giants fan here in Montreal since 1960, so a lot of bad times and some good times. But I listen to you guys every day because it's great to get so much detailed info on the Giants, which I never used to be able to get before.
Cool.
But I kind of have a simple question for Paul. I'm also, since 1960, a dyed-in-the-wool Alouette fan up here in the CFL. So I'm just wondering, I know you see the practices every day, Paul. My man, Brett Jones, in your opinion, does he have a realistic chance of making either the 53 or the practice squad?
He's been running as the third-team center these days behind Dallas Reynolds, who obviously is behind Weston Richburg as the starter. Reynolds has a great deal more experience than Jones. So to this point, I'm not sure if they've been going with Reynolds because Jones still has an upwards curve and they're still trying to bring him along slowly, or if because they just believe right now that Reynolds is the better player and deserves to be the second string center. I haven't gotten my finger on the pulse of that yet because they only just played their first preseason game. I think over the course of the next 2 weeks, we'll find out exactly what they think about both Reynolds and Jones. I do know that they like Jones' potential. They like his smarts, great attitude. He fights. He's energetic. There's a lot to like about him. Now, let me go back to what Anita said before about the positions and the 53s.
Right.
It may wind up being that if they go with 9 offensive linemen, they feel they can't keep a third center, in which case maybe he does wind up, you know, as a practice squad target. I don't know right now. I still need more information. I got to watch some more if that's okay with you.
Okay, no, that's no problem. I'll be pulling for him, and I'm hoping for a great year, and I'll continue to listen to you guys. As I said, your information is great. I also listen to you and John Schmelk and all the other guys. So thanks for all the info. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in.
He's a good kid. Brett Jones, you have a chance to talk to him at all?
No, I have not.
Good kid. Really, really good kid. And it, you know, all you folks up there north of the border, root for him because he's a good guy.
All right, well, that concludes our show this afternoon, Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Are you sure?
Who's in tomorrow?
I'm in tomorrow.
With who?
I think Lance.
With Lance?
Might be Lance, might be John. I don't know.
Okay, well, Paul DeTina will be back with you tomorrow.
I know.
I'm going to be on a golf course somewhere if, of course, the rain stays away. I only have a few more days to make it happen. Once football season starts, and then, of course, it's going to start getting cold, like... then my clubs go in the closet for 6 months.
Warning to whatever golf club it is that she lands at, she's a long drive champion.
You're so funny. Stay tuned to Giants.com a little bit later. All the interviews that took place earlier today, a number of the players and the coaches will be up on Giants.com. So you can revisit that. If you missed any portion of the show, it will be up on Giants.com as well. And practice begins at 5:50 p.m.
That's right, and remember, no practice tomorrow because it is the day before the game. They play Jacksonville on Saturday night here at MetLife Stadium.
Fantastic. So have a great afternoon, everybody, and stay tuned to Giants.com for all your Giants information.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Jackson on the field. He's got through. 35, 30.